Well, brethren, why are we here today? Have you thought about that? Why are we here? I mean, we could be doing so many other things. We could be out spending time with family. We could be out playing golf. We could be out enjoying the sunshine. We could be working in the yard cleaning. We could be doing so many other things. So what is our purpose? Why are we here? You know, God has a specific purpose in mind when He created mankind. It is to prepare those that He calls the very elect of this world to one day possess with Christ God's kingdom. That is our purpose. To be kings and priests reigning with Christ at His return. And it doesn't matter whether you read in the beginning of the Bible in the scriptures in Genesis, or you read the end of the Bible in the scriptures in Revelation, God states in both that we are created to have dominion over this earth, over all creation, with Him. That's our purpose. That's what mankind was created for. Now, it's not as simple as it sounds that, okay, we're created, we're here, it's all over with, right? There are a few stipulations. We don't just get to walk through life and have this wonderful gift from God fall down upon us. We all have to do our part. We must constantly be developing righteous character. Overcoming self-righteousness was something I spoke about the last time. We must be growing in grace and knowledge, and that takes effort as well. And we must constantly be overcoming sin. We must be willing to look at our life with the same honesty as when we look in a mirror. You know, a mirror is one of those funny things that no matter how you look at it, what you see is always the truth. A mirror doesn't lie to you. You look at it and you think, I'm not as thin as I was 10 years ago. There's a lot more gray hair or a lot less hair than there was a few years ago. And if that's the case, that's what you're going to see in the mirror. And ladies, if you were putting on your makeup that morning and you forgot to do one eye and you just only got eyeshadow in one eye, when you look in that mirror, it's going to tell you that. There's no hiding it. There's no hiding the truth from a mirror. What you see is what you are, is what comes back, your reflection. Well, I want to take the rest of this message today to expound on one of the promises to God's people that are able to clearly see their reflection and able to overcome. Let's turn to Revelation 3. We know Revelation 3, God is talking to the churches, beginning in chapter 1 and going through, talking to the different churches. And we see something here in Revelation 3 and verse 12. And we see here it says, "And he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God." We are promised, brethren, that if we can overcome, if we can change, we will be pillars in the temple of God. We will be given the opportunity to reign with Christ. When He returns to establish His world-ruling kingdom of God, if we can overcome now, if we can change now, if we can see clearly in that mirror now, we will be pillars with Christ. Well, what does it mean to be a pillar in the coming kingdom of God? What qualities will we need to develop to rule with Christ as a pillar? Let's look into the Bible and see what a pillar is and how to develop the qualities to become pillars in God's church. Well, just what is a pillar? Okay, let's start from the hard evidence, okay? Exactly what a pillar. Let's go to 1 Kings 7. We can see here in 1 Kings 7 an example of pillars that were created for King Solomon for the temple. 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 13. We see here in verse 13, "Now King Solomon sent and brought Huram from Tyre. He was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali. And his father was a man of Tyre, a bronze worker. He was filled with wisdom and understanding and still in working with all kinds of bronze work. So he came to King Solomon and did all his work. And he cast two pillars of bronze, each one 18 cubits high, and a line of 12 cubits measured the circumference of each. Now, just to give you an idea of how big those bronze pillars were, brethren, 18 cubits is approximately 27 feet high. And 12 cubits around, well, my reach tip to tip is about 6 feet. So that's half of it. So if I could stand and put myself on the other side and stand, that's how big around those pillars were, cast in bronze. Needless to say, those were very big pieces of structure, meant for a specific purpose. Then he made two capitals, cast on bronze, and set them on top of the pillars. And it goes on through here, if you want to read this later on, and describes in detail these pillars and how they were set up. And they were set up for a very specific reason, brethren, because they had to support. They had to support the temple. If you were to describe an architectural definition of a pillar, it would be a firm, upright, separate support, able to stand alone, something that supports a superstructure. That would be the architectural definition of a solid pillar and what it would mean. They have to be on solid ground. You can't place a pillar on sand and expect it to hold up anything. It has to be set onto a firm foundation. And we know that in God's church, that foundation, that rock that is built upon, is Christ. The foundation under any supporting pillar must be unwavering. It must be able to withstand extreme pressure and the weight of everything that is stacked up on top of it. Whether it's a roof or many stories of a building, whatever it is, if you want to see a pillar, an architectural pillar, and how they're used to support the weight, go into Nashville at any time. Right now, you go downtown Nashville, there are new superstructures going up all over the city. And it's always interesting to me when you pull up and they first start on these buildings and you're looking down into this hole that's 30 feet deep. You're standing at the street and you're looking down into this deep hole because they've dug down to where they can find this bedrock, a firm foundation, and then you see these pillars coming up from that. And those pillars are going to support the weight of that 15 or 20 or 30 story building, whatever it might be. In regards to people, a pillar is defined as one who strongly supports a group, a place, or an activity. A strong, stable, supportive, unshakable, unmovable person. I think we've all heard the old term, that person is a pillar in the community. We can understand that concept when we know what a pillar does. We can say, okay, that person's a pillar in the community. They're strong. They're reliable. They're focused. They're grounded. And that's what each of us need to be. If someone describes you as a pillar of strength, he's saying you are reliable. You are supportive. Much like a pillar or a column in a building that holds up the structure. Well, what qualities enable individuals to become pillars in God's kingdom? Well, one quality that a pillar must have is a firm foundation. As we've said before, if that pillar isn't on a firm foundation, it can't support anything. For us to have a firm belief in God and Christ, we have to understand that there are times when God is working in our life. We have to see that. We have to realize that no matter how rough it seems at the time, no matter how difficult the trial might be, that God is there working with us. A couple weeks ago, I was leading songs, and while I was leading, we did the song, Be Not Afraid. And as we were singing it, a memory flashed back in my mind to 20 years ago. Somewhere around 1998, we were camping. I say we, there was my family, and 20 years ago, my kids were all a lot smaller than they are today. And there was at least two other families, maybe three more with us. I don't remember the total. I remember the park we were in. We were in Potato Creek State Park in northern Indiana. And we had been there Friday night. We'd camped. We'd had a nice meal and a nice evening. Got up Saturday morning. Got dressed. Went to church. There was a church not too far away. Got back from services. Middle of the afternoon, late, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, somewhere around there. Everybody's hungry. We start getting out food and start getting the fire going and everything so we can cook and we can have a nice meal. And as we're doing this, I notice that cars are leaving. And it's not just one or two. It's like the whole park is emptying out. And we're all looking at one another like, wonder where everybody's going. Must be something going on we don't know about. We've been gone all day. We just got back to the park. Must be something. So the park is emptying out. Cars are going past our tents. We're about in the middle of the park. And everybody in the back, they're leaving. I mean, it's a steady stream of cars leaving the park. And all their stuff is just left sitting up. We're like, what is going on? Well, it was maybe 20 minutes later, we noticed the sky was getting dark. And when I say dark, I mean high winds, darkness, sirens going off. And we found out later that a tornado had gone through the front of the park. Well, why this is happening, we're in a pop-up camper, okay? A pop-up camper has a hard top and canvas sides. And we had a canvas screen tent, a screen room on the front of it. And why that storm is coming through, we had four adults standing out there trying to hold the poles down to keep that whole thing from blowing away. And the kids were inside the camper, and one of the women that was there with us was singing Be Not Afraid with them. And they were singing it as this storm is trying to lift us and our camper off the ground and throw us wherever. It was a very scary moment for all of us. I had everything I could to hold on to that pole to keep it on the ground as the wind tried to rip it out of my hands and everybody else that was holding another one. The four men were holding the corners and we were doing all we could to hold that down. Why that wind tried to rip that camper out from underneath us. And I'm thinking later, that was really a dangerous situation to have all of our kids in that camper. That wasn't very smart at all. But fortunately, God was very merciful and he protected us. And as I said a couple weeks ago when we sang that song, in the back of my mind, I heard that woman singing to my kids, "Be not afraid," as that storm ripped through that and just destroyed that campground. Trees down, campers blown, tents picked up and thrown. My son's tent was out away from ours, had his suitcase, had all of his stuff in it. It picked it up and took it, and it was 100 feet away from where it was. With his heavy suitcase and everything, that whole tent gone, took the whole thing. It was a nasty storm. But we survived. And what we learned from that, God is here. God is with us. God protected us, even in our own stupidity. He was there. He watched over us. It's at those times, brethren, where we have to understand where our foundation is and how firm that foundation is in the knowledge and the understanding of God, that he is there for us. No matter how difficult it seems, no matter how tough the trial seems, and I know many have gone through many trials. And as Mike was saying, Mrs. Ellithorpe for years has been dealing with this. Sometimes, brethren, it's a lot. It's a lot for us to deal with. The only way we can ever hope to survive is to trust in our foundation. And that foundation being rooted in Christ and God. That's how we have to work to overcome. Let's turn to a scripture now in 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, talking about a spiritual foundation. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, brethren, there is nothing else we can put our pillar upon except the rock that is Christ. That's where it has to be. There are no other options to that. Christ is the foundation. He has been from the beginning. He is now. And He will continue to be the strength and foundation that will support ourselves as we strive to be future pillars in God's kingdom. In the Old Testament, we can see God's instruction to the kings of Israel. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 17 and verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 17, and we're going to begin in verse 14. God had given very clear instructions to the kings of Israel. In my Bible, at the beginning of verse 14, it says, "Commandments for a king." We're going to be future kings, brethren. These are commandments for a king given to the kings of Israel. Verse 14, "When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and possess it and dwell in it, and say, 'I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me,' you shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses." Look how clear God made this, brethren. The Israelites weren't going to pick their own. They weren't going to vote and say, "Hey, I like this guy. Hey, this guy bought me ice cream last week. Let's vote for him." They said the king that God chooses. "And one from among your brethren you shall set as king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. But he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, 'You shall not return that way again.' Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself." And verse 18, and this is where it really becomes important for us. "Also it shall be when he sits on the throne of the kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life." God's talking about the laws and commandments, that book from the Levites, that the kings were to write, to keep, to read daily. They were to write these laws and commandments so they would remember them all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of the law and these statutes. Verse 20, "that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." They were to read it daily, these kings, so they would develop the mind and the perspective of God. And just like these kings, brethren, who read the laws and commandments daily to see who they were and to fortify their knowledge of God and his presence in their lives, we each have that mirror to look at daily. It never lies to us. It always reflects the truth. When we stop and we look at it, are we seeing a future pillar of God? We have been instructed so many times in the Bible to follow the examples, to follow and to live a certain way. In Matthew 4:4, Christ told us to live by every word of God. Let's go there. Matthew 4, verse 4. Matthew 4, verse 4, in the words of Christ, "and it happened," oops, that's Mark 4, sorry, wasn't the right verse, Matthew 4, 4, let's try that one, there it is, "but he answered and said, 'It is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Brethren, do you realize how much we've been blessed in this time in our life? Going back to the kings of Israel, they had to go to the Levites, find the books that were written before them, and copy the laws and commandments so they could have it for themselves. I would bet, probably quite a bit actually, that every one of us in this room has more than one Bible in their house. I would guarantee that one a lot. And not only a Bible, But you got an iPhone, you got an iPad, you got a computer, you've got so many different translations of this book at your fingertips. At any moment of the day, you can look at your phone, your whatever it might be. It's always there. The Word of God, the laws and commandments that He gave to the kings, that He instructed them to read, to write down, to study daily. And we've got it right in our fingertips. Constantly. Daily. Always. And yet many of us still can't find enough time to study it the way we need to. I'm not talking to everyone else as much as myself. It's something we all struggle with, to find and make the time to read the Word of God. And you can't use the excuse, I don't have it. It's always there. Paul admonished Timothy to thoroughly study the Scriptures. Isaiah prophesied that in the kingdom of God, the law would go forth from Jerusalem. We know that time is to come. And that the whole earth would be full of the knowledge of God as waters cover the sea. That knowledge is out there, brethren. It's out there now. The efforts of Christ along with the pillars will fulfill these scriptures. It is our destiny if we can change. If we can do what God has told us we must. If we can become who God expects us to become. It is our destiny to be that pillar based on the foundation that was built by Christ. And if we are to be pillars, we must have a firm foundation in the Scriptures, and we must have a close relationship with God. Another quality needed is a close relationship with fellow members of the church. Let's turn to Galatians 2 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. We see here Paul describing Peter and James and John as pillars. Verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. The New Living Translation states it just a little clearer. It says in verse 9, it says, from the New Living Bible, in fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Brethren, we have the opportunity to be pillars. We have a responsibility to have a firm foundation with not only God, but with one another. It is something we must continue to build on. God wants us to put His instruction into practice, not just for ourselves, but to bolster and to prop up and to encourage one another, to strengthen, to sustain each other. One person cannot do it all. One pillar cannot support a whole building. It takes all of us working together as pillars. It will take all of us in God's kingdom. I'm sure that Peter and James and John supported each other in preaching the gospel. They were there helping one another. They valued God's values. They lived it in God's way. They supported God's plan and His purpose. And the family of God has been called to help and support each other. Brethren, we are not in the beginning of time. We are more towards the end of this age. More to a time where we have more responsibility towards one another. More responsibility to fulfill our calling that God has given us. The time is drawing short, brother. I don't know any other way of putting it but to say that we are running out of time. Time to change. Time to overcome. time to build that strong foundation, time to make a difference in our lives and what we do and how we live it. We must learn to help one another, and in doing so, we can actually help the world by letting our light shine. We learn how to serve one another, and as James tells us, we need to draw nigh to God so He will draw nigh to us. We do that, brethren, again, by constantly looking to God, by being thankful we have this so close all the time, and making it a point to study it, to read it, to know it, so it can be who we are, not just something we talk about from afar. As I stated before, pillars must have a close relationship with God. As pillars, we must walk with God on a daily basis. And it's more than just reading it, because, brethren, I can name a lot of different people over the last 30 years that I've known that could quote me the Bible front to back. They know it so well, and they're not here today, because they didn't live it. They just read it and memorized it. And that's not building a relationship with God. That's just learning a memory trick. Just because you can tell me the Bible front to back and not live it, that's not what God's looking for. God wants to see in your heart that you actually want to change, that you want to do it His way, that you want to become more like Him. As pillars, brethren, we must walk with God on a daily basis. We have to put into practice what we know, or the knowledge will be wasted. And you can't become a pillar by sitting in a classroom. You have to walk with God. You have to take what you've learned and you have to expound on it and live it daily. The Bible states that Enoch and Noah walked with God. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly." That's from Genesis 17, verses 1 and 2. Now, that verse doesn't come out and just say that Abraham walked with God. But we know in reading the scriptures that he did. That Abraham was a faithful servant who sought out daily to live God's laws and commandments. Like Enoch and like Noah. The facts are evident, brethren. God commanded Abraham to walk before him, and that God promised to fulfill his covenant to make a great nation through him. He fulfilled that, and he did so because Abraham walked with God. God will fulfill his promise to us from Revelation 3 that we will be pillars if we learn to walk with God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 6. Luke chapter 1 and verse 6. Talking about Elizabeth here and Aaron, it says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, they were righteous because they walked with God. They sought God. Christ is coming back to this earth to establish a world-ruling government. He is calling and training individuals now to function as pillars in that kingdom. He is looking to us now, brethren, to be those pillars. People who are developing, who are building that firm foundation, who are studying His Word daily, who understand the importance of a strong foundation, who are developing a long-lasting, close relationship with God. Brethren, are we learning to walk with God? Are we daily able to look at the mirror and see the right reflection? By living and holding fast to the principles that are found in God's Word. If we can do that, brethren, we can become pillars. we need to fulfill our calling. We must be willing to look in that mirror honestly. Can we truly see the right reflection, brethren? Are we ready to be pillars in God's kingdom?